What's up, everyone? I'm Coy Wire, coming to you from Houston, Texas today. Rise up. I am here covering all the action at this year's Final Four and the College Basketball National Championship game. I am so grateful to be here with you to help you jumpstart your week right here on CNN 10. Now, we do start today with some tragic news for our lead story. The communities in the South and Midwest regions of the United States were hit by severe tornadoes. More than 50 preliminary tornado reports were recorded Friday in at least seven states, and communities across the country faced absolute devastation this weekend. Neighborhoods were leveled, with homes and businesses destroyed. The roofs of buildings were torn off by wind, and as of Sunday, when we recorded our show, 27 people have been reported dead. And the threat of more tornadoes had shifted to the southern plains, where nearly 13 million people in North Texas, including the Dallas-Fort Worth area, face an enhanced risk for severe weather. The latest destructive weather across the South and Midwest comes just a week after a severe tornado walloped the southeast, killing at least another 26 people and destroying much of Rolling Fork, Mississippi. In addition, storms have also knocked out power to these struggling communities. When we recorded our show Sunday, more than 30,000 customers in Arkansas remain impacted by power outages, with hundreds of thousands more without power across the South and Northeast, including 120,000 in Pennsylvania, 73,000 in Ohio. The governors of Indiana, Iowa, Illinois, and Arkansas have all declared emergency or disaster declarations in their states to provide immediate assistance to impacted counties. President Joe Biden has also issued a major disaster declaration for Arkansas. We'll hear now from CNN meteorologist Derek Van Dam, who's currently in Wynn, Arkansas, assessing the damage.
We are in badly devastated Wynn, Arkansas, where electrical vehicles and companies are on the scene trying to assess the initial damage here that the mayor described has literally split his town in half. And we are standing directly in that path from this devastating tornado. I want you to see behind me, this is a home, that is a living room, and that's somebody's piano. There's no music being played there today. This house has been vacated. There have been injuries. Overnight, there were active search and recovery efforts taking place. We've walked around this area, the Wynn High School here in Arkansas, home to the Yellow Jackets. Their home football field was decimated by this tornado. And I want you to see it from the air, because you can notice the kind of indiscriminate nature of a tornado and how its path of destruction is very concentrated. It literally, like peeling back the skin off of an orange, took the artificial turf and ripped it off of their home field. But on the other side of the football field, it was left untouched. So were some homes. But the areas where it hit hardest, of course, completely devastated. And we have seen just the true nature of how incredible Mother Nature can be. It is a scary morning as we get first light and get a idea of just how bad this tornado really was.
Former President Donald Trump is expected to appear in a New York courtroom tomorrow following a formal criminal charge late last week by a Manhattan grand jury. The charges include more than 30 counts related to business fraud, but the specific details of the indictment have not been made public. This is the first time in U.S. history that a current or former president has been criminally charged. But did you know that Ulysses S. Grant was once arrested for speeding? That's right, speeding on his horse-drawn carriage all the way back in 1872. Now, in response to the charges, the former president has maintained his innocence and claims that the charges are politically motivated. The unprecedented nature of bringing a former U.S. president in for criminal charges has activated a complex, choreographed security effort in the city of New York. CNN's Shimon Procupes is in Manhattan as the city prepares for Tuesday's arraignment.
With an unprecedented indictment comes immense security challenges. The NYPD, along with court officers, U.S. Marshals, and the United States Secret Service, are running through logistics of how Tuesday's historic arraignment of the former president will go down. Law enforcement sources telling CNN officials are conducting a dry run of Trump's movements, including his motorcade route to the courthouse in downtown Manhattan, where he is expected to be arraigned Tuesday afternoon. How he will get inside the courtroom flanked by Secret Service, and what will the arrest process look like? Will he be treated like any other defendant? The former president expected to be fingerprinted and photographed for a mugshot. It's a massive effort, starting when Trump arrives by plane Monday, securing Trump Tower, the court, and the motorcade route.
In this case, though, where you have a former president, and certainly a president with as large a following as former President Trump, there's a lot of unique concerns that are going to come into play. I think that the bigger unknown here is going to come in the form of protests or potential protests.
Officials are also bracing for protests after Trump urged his supporters to protest his arrest when news of the indictment reportedly neared. So far, the mayor's office says there are no credible threats to the city. And out of an abundance of caution, every member of the NYPD, some 35,000 officers, are reporting for duty in uniform and prepared for mobilization.
So the challenge for the NYPD is going to be protecting everybody's First Amendment right, allowing everybody to have their voice heard, and to do so in a way that keeps the peace.
Next, we're catching up with Nelly Chaboy, who was named CNN Hero of the Year. Her nonprofit organization, TechLit, has gained widespread recognition for its efforts to upcycle old computers and provide tech education to rural communities in Kenya. We'll delve into Nelly's experiences since winning the award and hear firsthand what it meant to achieve such a momentous victory.
Nelly Chaboy.
You can only imagine, like, how crazy it was when I was named the CNN Hero of the Year. I thought I was, like, about to fall down. I look at the audience, you know, and it was my mom screaming back at me. Like most women that come before her, they die in poverty. Like, that's all they know, poverty. I don't think it can get any bigger than that. It was really heartwarming to see that the work was bigger than me now.
We also congratulate Nelly Chaboy,
the president of Kenya, congratulated me, talked about TechLit. It has become a household name. In Kenya, everyone knows that we are teaching kids computer skills. What I'm really excited about is the future in Kenya and in the rest of the continent, where kids are going to be learning about the tech world. There's hope. Like, poverty is an expiration date, right? When you are growing up in poverty, you think of yourself as less than. I knew just how powerful the kids celebrating this award was. I wanted to turn that into, like, hey, yes, this can happen for you too, yes.
10-second trivia. Who invented the game of basketball? Jerry West, James Naismith, Abner Doubleday, or Walter Camp? On December 21st, 1891, PE instructor James Naismith, using a soccer ball and two peach baskets, created what was called a new game of ball. Today's story, getting a 10 out of 10, is from right here in Texas. We've had a ball covering what's been called the wildest Final Four of all time, women's and men's. Last night in the women's championship game, it was LSU winning it all. They've been led all season by superstar Angel Reese and their Hall of Fame coach, of course, Kim Mulkey, who has some of the most flamboyant fashion in all of sports. You go, Tigers. Congrats to LSU. And tonight, right here in Houston, in that stadium behind me, the men's title game, it'll be San Diego State and UConn playing for all the marbles. I caught up with the head coaches from each team and found out that they are both superstitious.
I wear the same shoes, the same socks. You know, I'm trying to stay consistent with what I've got on for every game. We're on a win streak. I don't want to change anything.
Same shoes. How long have you been wearing them?
They've been through two Gatorade baths, two cutting down of nets.
Is it true that you've been wearing a certain same sort of a clothing article for superstitious reasons?
Yeah, that's definitely true, as well as the socks. But the socks are unremarkable. They're just a blue pair.
But the same pair.
Same pair, and I've gone back to an older pair of shoes that I won at Rhode Island when we won an NCAA tournament there.
Now, I'm not superstitious, but I am sometimes a little bit stitious. How about you? Any superstitions? One thing we always do, though, because we believe it keeps the good mojo flowing, is give a shout-out every show to show you some love. Today's shout-out is going to Rochester, Minnesota, Willow Creek Middle School. Go Wildcats! We see you, and we hope you and everyone watching around the world have a wonderful one. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.